We've come this far by faith, and by faith we travel on. It's the only way I know to go. Amen. Our text today comes from Luke's first letter to the church, Luke's first account of Jesus the Christ. From the 9th chapter, just a few verses, 18 through 20. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. I invite you to follow along with your text or the text on the screen, whichever is more appealing to you. Once when Jesus was praying alone, with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others, the one of the ancient prophets has arisen." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." This is God's love letter to the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to let you in on the prayer. Is that okay? Let's pray. Lord, in this moment, we want to hear from you. Lord, in this moment, quiet our minds, wrap our hearts in your grace. Let us hear the words that give us life, that give us hope, that lead us in our faith one step at a time. In this moment, O God, challenge our preconceived notions. Tear down our idols. Take away anything that stands between us and you. And in the gentleness of your love, bring forth from us that which you created in us. Oh God, I ask right now that you bring up your cross in our midst and hide me behind it. For Lord, I want only you to be seen, only you to be lifted up, and only your words to be spoken. Lord, we need your word today. We need to hear from you. For Lord, our hearts are heavy. Our lists are long. And some of us have joys that we just need to express to you. Whatever our circumstance, oh God, take them right now and bring them into your will. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for your daughter is listening. Amen. For those who are visiting, we have been during this Lent season using Reverend Mike Slaughter's book, The Renegade Gospel, to look at a different type of Jesus, not the nice Jesus that has infiltrated into our minds, into our culture, not the Jesus that's kind of soft and kind, but a Jesus who is challenging us. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the rebel Jesus and what it meant for him to be very different than what we have been accustomed to seeing. Last week, we looked at the revolutionary lifestyle, and we were challenged that following Jesus is going to be difficult and hard, and we're going to face some interesting questions. And today, we come to the most important question of all. We must wrestle with this. And my hope for you is that you leave here with a big old question on your heart, and that you are uncomfortable all next week. So I'm letting you know that up front. So if you want to leave, all right? You know I love you. But if Christianity's easy for you, you ain't doing it right. Okay? This Jesus brings to us face to face with all kinds of things. I appreciate the fact that all of, well, I can't say all of you because I'm looking at some of you, but you wearing the name tag, you know, it says, hello, my name is. I really appreciate that. I think it is an act of hospitality for our visitors and for those of us who have short memories. Yes, I've had coffee this morning, lives are saved. But by having the name tag on, we let everybody know who we are. You know, you've been to meetings where you need that. It's important. Have you ever written something down on that name tag? It's not your real name. I've done that. I just wanted to see what it felt like to, you know, put, oh, hello, my name is Tabitha. Yeah, y'all get it, right? You know, but you know, this is interesting. Our identity, what we call ourselves, you know, in my mind, I'm 6'2 and gorgeous. Let that soak in. And I played, you know, I played basketball for the greatest basketball coach of all times, you know, and in my mind, you know. But we all have an identity of ourselves, right? You know, younger. You ever played the what if game? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But I spend a lot of time hanging out with seventh graders and then with youth, and during that time I was blessed to help them navigate these waters of who am I? And as they separate from the parental units, and sometimes the parental units slowed down just enough to let them jump out of the car as they sped away. But keep up with me here, folks. I've had coffee, okay? But in those wonderful wacky years of middle school and high school, they're forming identities that are separated from home. And many times we are still forming our identities as we grow in Christ. You know? What do you call yourself now? Who do you see yourself as? And as you come here every week, and I appreciate those who come every week, I appreciate those who just show up every so often. And you know who you are. Who do you call yourself? Who do you call yourself here at Rehoboth? And who do you call yourself as a follower of the living Christ? This is a really important question because our identity determines our destiny, how we see ourselves, how we move and work within our homes and within our lives and within our extended family and on our job sites. Who do you see yourself as? Identity does lead to our destiny. One day, Jesus, talking to the inner circle. It's interesting where Luke puts this account. The Synoptic Gospels all have this encounter with Jesus. And Matthew and Mark, they place this discussion of the disciples and Jesus while they are in Caesarea Philippi, which is the political and cultural and economic center of North Galilee, okay? In the center of power, the center of commerce, the center of religious life, is where Mark and Matthew put this discussion as a way of looking at how is Jesus contextually seen within the center of what's going on. How he's asking this question to his disciples kind of a cultural question, and is he wanting them to look at himself in comparison to this very center section. But Luke does something very interesting. If you caught it, it says, while Jesus was praying alone, he wasn't busy when he asked this question. It was in the midst of his praying life. Have you ever asked that question of yourself while you're praying? God, who am I? Who am I to myself and who am I to you in your prayer life? I invite you to think about doing that sometime, just having a conversation with the one who made you. God, who am I to you? Who did you create me to be? what is my identity in you? So he asks this question of the disciples. Jesus is kind of crafty here. He says, who do everybody else say that I am? You know, they give the answer, Elijah, John the Baptist, some other prophet, okay? And then he turns his questions, being the great teacher that he is, he turns the question onto them and says, okay, who do you say that I am? You've been walking with me now for 18 months to a couple of years. Who do you say that I am? I got to wondering, what if Jesus showed up here today and stood right here eyeball to eyeball with us and said, Rick, who do you say that I am? Ray, Sue, who do you say that I am? The group of ladies over here. Who do you say that I am? Back row people. You can't hide Lynn Nystrom. Who do you say that I am? But what if he showed up and he got eyeball to eyeball and he said, who do you say that I am? I envision when he asked this question, all the disciples started looking at their shoes. You know, started real quiet like, you know, like we all would have. And they waited. They waited for the one who always popped off, the one who always spoke, the one who tended to jump out of boats. Think on that one. They waited for Peter to answer. And Peter, bold, swift Peter, my second cousin Peter, who would say things and do things, who was impetuous. He said, you are the Messiah of God. And he spoke it out loud. For the first time, someone in the inner circle spoke it out loud. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the one sent from God to come and liberate, to renew, to redeem, to buy back, to set free. You are the Messiah, the one we have longed for, the one we have been calling for. You are the Lamb of God. You are the one. All others are not the one. You are the one. See, we don't understand the subversive statement here. You are the one. Wonderful, impetuous, outspoken, leader of the pack in his black leather jacket, Peter gets it, at least for now. This is the same Peter who is not going to get it and not be bold, but Peter gets it. You're the Messiah of God. And then I can imagine as we hear this, as the disciples hear this, their mind begins to flood and remember he's a healer. They remember how he healed Jairus' daughter, how he healed, Peter probably remembers how he healed her, his mother-in-law. He healed the lepers. Remember how he fed the hungry, how he clothed the naked. All these other words come to our mind when we say Jesus, do we not? He's our friend. He's our brother. He's our companion. He is the anointed one. He is the shepherd. He is Yeshua. He is our anointed one. He is the Almighty. He is God and King. He is all of these things. Yet when we say he is the Almighty, we must say that and be unashamed of Christ. Unashamed to say he is the Messiah. There have been people throughout our histories who have been unashamed of Christ, and you can probably think of those. I think of Mother Teresa, who would touch the lepers. I think of Dorothy Day and her work with the poor. I think of Dr. King and his work for civil rights here. But I also think of those in our midst who are unashamed of their Christ. I think of dear sweet Brent, who wore his faith, who carried his Bible. I think of Brenda, who's unashamed of her Christ. I think of those in our midst who write cards, who go to the bridge to feed those who are coming this afternoon to make meals for the homeless. I think of those who visit in the name of Christ. I think of those in our midst who make home repairs in the mountains. I think of those in our midst who are unashamed, go out and say, I'm a rutabaga. Okay. Unashamed, boldly living their faith. Those are the people who claim every day in their life, Jesus is the Messiah. You don't have to stand up here and preach, but you're welcome to. Let me know. I'll give you a Sunday. But you can be unashamed in your life when you reach out to someone who is a stranger and you say, I see you. I see you. You can be unashamed of Christ when you're willing to be uncomfortable enough to speak up against injustice. Be unashamed of Christ when you take the time, the 30 seconds that you're in an elevator, to look at someone and say, hello. What a wonderful day. I noticed you. Isn't that a beautiful coat that you have on? Or you say to the child in your classroom who maybe didn't bring enough lunch or no lunch, can I share my lunch with you? Or maybe you see someone at the grocery store, maybe a little older than I am, who needs help putting those groceries in their car. That's being unashamed of Christ, standing up and say, I am a follower. And all of that of claiming Jesus as Messiah, we make one claim that's very difficult. Jesus is Lord. And we say that. But do you really understand what that means? That Jesus is Lord? That means that he is sovereign. He is God. We owe him our complete, unabashed, uncompromising allegiance. He must come first. Above all else, he must be Lord and Master before what we do at work, before what we do for recreation. He must be sovereign even above our family. He is Lord. That's what we say. That is the proclamation of the church. He must have all of our hearts. Not just a drive-by on Sunday. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when somebody else is looking. But 24/7. That's the radicalness of following this Jesus. I know of no other way for perfect peace. I know of no other way to serve this Lord. Who do you say he is? Is he just a token to you? Is he just a habit on Sunday? Is he just somebody you wave at as you drive by on Vietnam Vet? Or is he somebody you just turn to when you get your life in a mess? Or is he Lord?